When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 303. McMonagle here with you. 2 hours left in our five-hour midnight ride as we take you to the warm-up show at 5. Coming off one hell of a thrilling and, you know, disappointing night on a couple of different levels. The Knicks take out the 76ers, 104-101, down 5 points with 40 seconds left. Figure out a way to score 6 points, a three by Brunson. Steal off the inbound, and a three by DiVincenzo leads to a victory. A lot of controversy there, and then obviously the 3-0 debacle that was the Islander loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. But obviously, we played the sound. You heard it. Embiid, especially, talking about the refs, and it's unacceptable. And that final inbound play with 27 seconds left that gets stolen. And I guess now we're starting to see more highlights, and you're getting it slowed down and singled out. And you could tell, yes. I mean, I think any Knicks fan would have to be fair. On the inbounds, Jalen Brunson tugs at Maxey's jersey a little bit. It's probably a foul. It's minor, but it's probably a foul. There's a little bit of a tug of a jersey, and he spins him a little bit. You want to complain about that? Fine. It's the NBA playoffs. You had more opportunities to win that game. You did inbound the ball. You had possession. You threw it away. But if we're going to complain about that, okay. Complain about it. And I guess they're filing a grievance with the NBA. At least that's what someone's reporting. I saw the tweet. John Clark of NBC. Per a Sixers spokesperson, the team will file a complaint with the NBA over the officiating in games 1 and 2. When was it? Sixers were disadvantaged by 2 calls in game 1 per the league's last 2-minute reports. Tonight, Nick Nurse tried to call timeout twice late in the game to no avail, which we already talked about and for me debunked. The Sixers were the most disadvantaged team all season, according to the league's last 2-minute data.
We were screwed all year, and now it's continuing in the playoffs. We tried to call a timeout.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You almost called a timeout as they inbounded the ball. Then once the ball was thrown in, you were hoping for a foul, pulled your hands back, didn't get it. Then by the time you tried to call another timeout with Maxey laying on the floor, he threw the ball away, and you don't have the right to call a timeout with a loose basketball rolling around on the floor. So cut it out. Bunch of crybabies about the referees. The Yankees aren't crybabies about the referees, though. Tell you that right now. Let's do that for a quick second, as yesterday we saw one of the more, as we focus on calls and non-calls, umpires and referees, what happened yesterday at Yankee Stadium is an all-timer. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Because Aaron Boone gets thrown out of this game 5 pitches into the game on for reasons of just absolutely doing nothing wrong. So if you haven't seen the game, Hunter Wenceslas is the home plate umpire. It's the first batter of the game. Rodon, who was utterly brilliant and has really pitched well his last handful of starts, throws a slider to a left hand, to a right-handed bat, goes down and hits his back foot. You know, the back foot slider hits his back foot. It's a check swing. The Yankees believe it was a swing. They go down to first. The referee at first place gives the save sign. He did not swing. Hit batter, go to first base. Boone comes out. He's yelling at the first base umpire, saying clearly a swing. He even turns to Hunter Wendelstadt and say, "Hey, you know, you can make that call too." And Hunter Wendelstadt and whatever's going on with the Yankee and the Yes Network microphones and the Yankee Stadium microphones, I don't know what's going on, what they've done, if they've upgraded, added more, but the crowd sounds louder than ever. You can't even get through, like, the beginning part of the game, you can't even hear Michael Kay over the roll call. And I don't know if the roll call is just in stronger voice than ever. I can't imagine that. But you hear it louder than ever. And then you hear this exchange between Wendelstadt and Aaron Boone clearer than I've ever heard an exchange between an umpire and a manager. But he clearly says that. He said, "Nah, I'm watching." When Boone must have said to him, "You can make the call." He's like, "I got this to worry about. I got that to worry about. One more word, Boone, and you're out of here." Made it very clear. And Boone said, "Okay." Actually gave him a thumbs up. And then just quietly sat there and stood there and was looking at his fingernails when someone in the crowd behind Boone shouted something. And immediately, Hunter Wendelstadt turned to Boone and threw him out of the game. And Boone goes apoplectic. He didn't say a damn thing. It's all on camera. He doesn't say a thing. There's a guy in a blue shirt right behind him that clearly shouts something. And it caused Boone getting thrown out. And even that, to me, is... It's a bit much. It's rabbit ears. It's the idea that, you know, you got to understand the difference between the crowd and the bench on some level. But ultimately, just these umpires, they're so quick to throw people out of the game. It's ridiculous. But fine. You thought it was Boone. Fine. Boone comes running out of the dugout and tries to explain himself and says, "I didn't say anything. It was behind me." And Hunter Wendelstadt clearly says to him, you can hear it, "I don't care who said it, you're gone." And that's where we really all have a problem with it. Because if an umpire doesn't care about facts, doesn't care about who said what, just is throwing people out because he's pissed off that they're playing a Monday afternoon game or whatever the case may be, that's the problem. And here's what I'll say. One, the thing I disagree with Aaron Boone in the post game was asked about bad blood or a reputation, and he said, no, he doesn't think so. Aaron, there is no doubt the amount of games you have been thrown out for, which I believe the last 2 years you have led Major League Baseball. The amount of games you get thrown out for, the amount of times you have problems with the umpires is without question turning them against you. And I don't care. It's your money. I mean, that's really ultimately it. I don't, you know, you're still pulling the strings from the dugout. And ultimately, I think for the most part, the team appreciates it and loves it. I think it's for pretty much 99% of times getting ejected, I believe it's probably it only helps the team. It doesn't hinder. So it's really just about Boone's money. But there is no question that umpires have a shorter leash with Aaron Boone because of his antics and because of the number of times he's been thrown out and the reputation he has built up throughout baseball. You can say all you want, it's not Boone. It is without question. They know you. They're aware. They wanted to put an end to it. There was no mood for Hunter Wendelstadt, and he threw you out. But then what bothers me more than even all of that he was biased going into it against Aaron Boone, which on some level you got to blame Boone for, but they're in there knowing Aaron Boone and they're ready to and aching to throw Boone out of the game the first chance they get because they don't want to put up with it all day. Forget the idea that he said, "I don't care who said it." In the post game, when held accountable for an amazing turn of events, when asked about it, he still doubles down on it. And I'm sorry, I guess we don't know this for sure, but if you watch the video, Boone is standing right there. He's told to shut up. He shuts up. There's a guy directly behind him in the crowd who shouts something. And the second his mouth opens, that's when the umpire, Hunter Wendelstadt, makes the decision to throw Boone out. And yet he claims that It was down the bench. He knew it wasn't from Boone, but threw Boone out anyway because he's the manager and he's responsible for the dugout. And the last thing he wants to do is throw out a player. So the manager has to go. It is absolute garbage. This is an umpire who didn't want to admit that he allowed a fan to fool him into throwing out a manager who did nothing but accept your request and didn't say a word. So instead of just saying, my bad, I thought it was Boone, or I thought it was coming from the Yankee dugout, if I was fooled, I apologize. Instead of something like that, what he does is, no, I knew it wasn't Boone. That's why I said I didn't care who it was. It came from the end of the bench. And it's ultimately the manager's responsibility to hold the line. It is absolute nonsense. And you cannot in the moment say, I don't care. You can't just say, I'm throwing you out because I want to. Well, it wasn't me. I don't care if it wasn't you. You're gone. You can't say you don't care. It's ridiculous. And they're so quick to throw guys out. Just deal with it. This is not some, it's not some obnoxious father at Little League. They're professional. It's professionals here. You paid good money. Just umpire the game and who cares? Turn it off. Just don't listen. It drives me absolutely nuts. And then the lies, it's a terrible look for Hunter Wentelstadt. It's a terrible look for Major League Baseball. And I think Boone probably won't get fined. I think they'll probably give back his fine, would be my guess. But ultimately, I don't care. I care more about the offense doing absolutely nothing. That's what I care more about. I care more about being shut out for the fourth time this year already and Judge continuing to do nothing. And you know how I feel about it, and I'm still there. I am not concerned about Aaron Judge at all. I'm not. This is Aaron Judge. He's the best hitter in baseball. It's a three and a half week slump. It happens all the time. I don't know what's going on with him. My concern would be injury, but I find it hard to believe. As much as I think the Yankees have changed, and as much as I think there is a little bit more of a sense of urgency, and as much as we're seeing a lot of the same lineup and starters playing every day, I'm telling you right now, previous seasons, there is no way they have Grisham on the bench this much. There is no way they play this guy. I'm telling you, this year is different. And as much as I appreciate what they're doing, there is no way they would be playing Aaron Judge this much and in center field to boot if he was dealing with anything severe. I thought that early on. Now it's gone on too much. They've played him too much, too many consecutive days, too many days in center field. I just don't think the Yankees, if he was really dealing with something, would let him continually play like this. Now, I'm sure he's maybe not 100%, but it's not anything of significance, and he's just in a slump. And this offense, while, yes, I still expect them to score some runs, I'm not saying they should be shut out without Aaron Judge, but they are not going to be a dynamic offense. They're just not. We could talk about Cashman needed to do this, and Cashman built a terrible offense, and Cashman needs to do that. They added Juan Soto and Verdugo, who both have been good over the last 15 days. Verdugo's hitting 310, 320 with an OPS right around 1 over the last 10 to 12 games. Gleyber Torres, who was one of the better second basemen offensively all of last year, has been off to a horrendous start. Rizzo still looks lost, and Judge has done nothing. If Aaron Judge, who makes $40 million a year, is the captain and is supposed to be, along with Soto in the middle of the lineup, a dynamic force, if he's doing nothing, then while, yes, being shut out, especially against the A's, is embarrassing, this offense is not going to perform. And not many teams would, with their best player being their worst. Aaron Judge needs to snap out of it. It's going to happen eventually, but they're still winning. They haven't lost this series. They have an opportunity to still win the next three games and take three or four from Oakland. They've only lost one series. They're 7 games over .500. The Yankee fan needs to relax about this offense. They'll be fine. They will be fine. I'm more concerned about the bullpen. And honestly, again, I will tell you right now, I think the biggest storyline as far as the Yankees' success this season or failure coming out of that game yesterday is not the offense, it's not the shutout, it's not the loss, it's not the Victor Gonzalez giving up a two-run home run and losing the game. The storyline coming out of that game is Carlos Rodon. He didn't even have his great stuff, and I know it's against Oakland. They've won a handful of games this year. They haven't been the White Sox or the Miami Marlins. He didn't even have his good fastball or good stuff and was able to pitch, take a little off, throw his breaking stuff, throw his off-speed stuff, get that slider going a little bit, and then as the game went on and he got stronger, the fastball, well, he found it eventually. But he was able to pitch, not just throw the ball past, pitch for 7 shutout innings. And Nestor Cortes a couple of games ago was able to do the same. And if this rotation is going to be stabilized by Rodon and Nestor Cortes returning back to all-star form, the offense will figure itself out. Adding a bat will probably be and most likely be easier than adding another top-end rotation piece, or at least will cost them less. And ultimately, this offense is going to pick up when Aaron Judge makes everybody pay for the last month of hitting 150. 877-337-6666. Ryan in California. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, everybody.
Love the show.
Thank you.
You're the best guy on the fan.
That's very kind.
So this Hunter Wennerstedt situation, I am absolutely livid, and I'm not even a Yankee fan anymore, but I did see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's the doubling down after the fact.
I agree.
I just don't understand how Major League Baseball, and I understand that they have a union and that there's certain protocols that, you know, they don't want to maybe get involved with trying to reprimand publicly any umpires, but it's just gotten out of hand. I mean, the stuff with Angel Hernandez, and then today was the last straw for me. I tweeted out to Major League Baseball, I'm not going to spend another dime until you guys do something about this umpiring situation. And I'm not sure, you probably know a lot more than I do, but is there any recourse that, you know, the players have as far as, like, can they just refuse to take the field if he's there? What do you do? What do you do as a fan or as a player and to say enough? Enough is enough with these people. They're supposed to
be characters. As a fan and a player, I don't know what other than in the next bargaining agreement, try and get something in, but I mean, they have their own union. I don't know what you do. I don't know if there's any recourse you can have necessarily. Trying, you know, they're going to have to figure something out. But I don't know if it's at the point. I mean, you're at the point where you can't take it. You don't want to watch the games anymore.
I think it's disgusting. I think it's absolutely disgusting that these guys should be caretakers of the game. They should be doing everything that they can to keep the game in a positive light and, frankly, keep their names out of the news. No one cares who they are.
Agreed. No one
gives a crap. So it's not about you. Learn to explore. God forbid you say you messed up. You look at a replay and you're clearly wrong.
Yeah.
Just own it.
No.
People have so much more respect when you just own your mistakes.
Yeah. Remember when Jim Joyce made that terrible call on the perfect game?
The perfect game.
And
yes,
he was practically in tears the next day. And we all, hey, listen, people make mistakes. Brutal mistake, but we all respected him. And this one, I mean, and again, some of the post-game sound, I agree, it's the doubling down. It's the doubling down. And plus, you watch the video, he responds, you could see it. The fan says something, and he responds to it. There's nobody at the end of the bench. Like, it's just...
Clearly.
And, you know, I mean, again, so this is what, and thank you for the call, Ryan. This is what Hunter Wennerstedt said after the postgame. Aaron Boone is the manager of the New York Yankees and is responsible for everything that happens in that dugout. I don't want to eject a player. We need to keep them in the game. That's what the fans pay to see. Oh, really? I thought it was you. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees. He got ejected. Apparently, what he said was that there was a fan right above the dugout. This isn't my first ejection. In the entirety of my career, I have never ejected a player or a manager for something a fan has said. I understood that's going to be part of the story or something like that because that's what Aaron was portraying. I heard something come from the far end of the dugout, had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one that had to go. That is the most... Has no one else ever been thrown out of a game? Has an assistant coach... Have we seen pitching coaches? Have we seen hitting coaches thrown out of games for saying things? Of course we have. The manager is not the, the king ruler of the dugout. And if anything goes on in the dugout the umpire doesn't like, he throws out the manager. I understand his point that it's up to him to keep the control of the dugout. This isn't a high school baseball team. Hey, coach, keep your dugout. These are grown professional men. If you heard something at the end of the bench, which you know you didn't, then look down at the end of the bench and then say something to Boone. Hey, keep your dugout in order. You said to Boone, don't say another word or you're out of here. To him specifically. If anybody else on the dugout said anything, you had to run them? One, that doesn't make sense on its own. Two, you watch the replay, the fan says something, and that's when he reacts. He says, Boone, that's it, Boone, you're gone. Then he says, I don't care who said it. It's garbage. And listen, for me, these guys should have a hell of a lot more tolerance. Boone didn't even get that upset on the field. He didn't even go after the guy that much. I'm telling you, this is about Aaron Boone's reputation throughout the umpiring community, if that's a thing. That's what this is about. Boone has a reputation where he'll do it to you all game, and Hunter Wendelstadt was in no mood. But that's not, he has nothing, his mood should have nothing to do with it. There are some words and certain phrases and the way it's said that I understand you won't be berated. You want the coach and or players should have respect for you. But a little bit of jawing from the dugout on the first batter of the game, as long as it was somewhat respectful, or at least it wasn't the magic words or, you know, something about your family members, like, let it go. Let it go. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Vince in Freehold, what's up, Vince?
Hey, how you doing? I got a different take on this umpire thing, and sure. I think you're missing a point here.
Okay.
Boone is responsible for the dugout, and if somebody in the dugout did say something, it's perfectly reasonable to throw him out, and it is better than throwing out a player, because losing Boone,
in what way
does that cost them the game?
It doesn't. No, that's correct, and I never once said it cost them the game.
Well, I know. So he did the... He did the least he could do, and it should be now standard operating procedure to tell the players, keep your mouth shut. If I'm out there, I do the talking.
Yep, I understand that. This wasn't a batter who was upset about a strike call arguing on the field, and then the manager steps in and takes over so that he protects his man. This isn't a bickering back and forth that's gone on for five innings. It's the first batter of the game. He told the manager to to not say anything. He didn't. This wasn't a thing where the whole bench was constantly berating him for five innings, and he said enough, one more thing out of that bench, then the manager has to go. This was a quick reaction, and you could see it from the video that it's a reaction to what a fan says.
Well, no. You're assuming that because you can't hear what the fan says.
You can see the fans.
You don't know what was supposedly said.
You can see the fan yell and then the umpire make it.
How many fans were at that game? They were probably all yelling at that point.
I understand that. But
if he thinks he heard it from a particular direction, cut him that much slack that he could tell where it was coming from.
What could have possibly been said that warrants throwing the manager out the first batter of the game?
Well, like you said, there are certain words or phrases that are going to trigger a reaction like that.
I
don't know what.
I'm sorry.
Nobody heard it except the people on the field.
I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that an umpire would throw a manager out after he warned him and the manager did nothing but follow his instructions. There is no reason to throw the manager out. How about a warning of the entire dugout? He said, Boone, enough out of you. If he heard something out of the dugout he didn't like, then say, now the dugout, one more thing out of your bench, guys. I'm throwing your manager out. Something. Right. Give another. There's no reason to throw the manager out over nothing.
But it's nothing to you.
It should be nothing to any manager. It should be nothing to any umpire in all of baseball. The umpires should not be so easily triggered to throw a manager out for saying anything. I'm sorry, there's nothing there. There was no in your face. There was no kicking dirt. There was a one little thing exchange. He made it very clear to stop talking. He stopped talking, even if he heard, hey, let's go, or whatever from the dugout. There is no reason to throw people out. Umpire the game. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry, there's no excuse. It's ridiculous. And he heard something from the far end. Watch the replay. He's waiting. He's listening for Boone. He threatens Boone. He doesn't threaten the dugout. He doesn't say enough out of you. I didn't even see another player, anybody upset from the dugout. The players are on the field. It's not even a hitter. It's not like the dugout's full of the entire lineup. The players are all on the field. The bench guys are so upset with that call, they're screaming from the dugout. It's nonsense. He was listening for Boone. He heard the fan behind Boone's ear and assumed it was coming from Boone and then didn't really care. Didn't care. Didn't want to argue with Boone any further. Didn't want to have a discussion about it. Boone said, it wasn't me. I don't care. You're out of the game. That was it. Ted in Warren County. What's up, Ted?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, a couple of things on Boone. Yesterday, the reason why they lost the game is because even somebody asked Boone in the press conference, how come in the eighth inning you had a man on first, nobody out, he doesn't move the runner over.
Mm-hmm.
The other team gets up and does the same thing, and they win the game. I mean,
they won the game on a two-run home run.
Yeah, I mean, but they're still at least moving runners along. You know, Boone, even though he got kicked out of the game, he still manages the game from back and wherever he's at. But I think the analytics runs that team. I think, you know, Oakland, they don't have the offense the Yankees have, but they won the games because they know you got to move runners.
They won
over.
The game because of a two-run home run.
Yeah, but
it didn't matter if there was
how
did the moving the runner over help them score the run?
Well, because if you have nobody out, you got a man on first, you got a weak hitter up there, you move the runner over, then you let the next two guys try to knock him in. It's just
right. And he hit a two-run home run. That runner scores from first base, that runner scores from second base, that runner scores from third base. On a home run, it doesn't matter. He gave up a two-run home run. That's why
Trevino hit into a double play.
I understand that, and they could have bunted him over. That's fine. They could
it would
have
been better to move the guy over late in the game.
Yeah, maybe
move the guy over.
Yeah, it's not. I don't disagree with the bunt. Wouldn't have been a terrible play there, but that's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because they haven't scored runs. That's why they lost.
Well,
the game.
They asked a girl asked Boone. She goes.
He said not in that spot. I saw the post game. He said
he
not
goes,
in that
not
spot.
Not there. He goes.
Yeah.
It's not there. When do you do it?
Yeah, I don't disagree. It wouldn't that.
Yeah,
I don't.
You watch the game. I see all those thousands of people that are watching the game. Half of the people on the stands know that, or they know that you got to. Baseball is you got to move runners along. It makes the game more, you know, it's baseball.
Analytics. It's analytics. Nobody bunts. Watch these extra inning games. Everybody's climbing. They hit a two-run home run. They didn't bunt, steal a base, and hit a sacrifice fly. They hit a two-run home run. That's how they scored their runs. So don't tell me that's why Oakland figured out a way to win. They hit a two-run home run. The ball went into the seats. Now, the Yankees could have bunted him over. I agree. And I also, even more than agree with you on that point, I agree that Boone didn't answer the question. I agree with that more than I agree with Boone should have bunted. Boone was asked, in that spot, did you consider bunting him? Even though it's bunting into the nine hole, which I don't love, but Oswaldo Cabrera has been great. Oswaldo Cabrera has been good with runners in scoring position. The argument there is that you're bunting into your nine hitter. But the nine hitter in Oswaldo Cabrera has had a great season, has a great start to the year. I thought it was an opportunity to bunt. I agree. I do agree. And I even agree more that Boone didn't answer the question. Boone just said, yeah, not in that spot. Now, Trevino has been swinging one of the hotter bats, amazingly enough. The offense has been so cold that Trevino has been one of their better hitters. But I wouldn't have hated that spot there. But it doesn't guarantee they score runs. Like, your argument is they would have scored the run if they won the game, if they did that. If they bunt the runner over, then clearly they get the base hit and score the run, right? Never mind the fact they couldn't do a damn thing all game long, but in that spot, if they bunted him over, clearly they come through with the base hit that wins the game. And then clearly the reliever who comes in wouldn't have given up the runs. Clay Holmes would have came in because they would have been willing to bring in their closer with a lead, and the Yankees win the game. That's exactly how it would have went if only Boone would have bunted. I know. That's the reason they lost. Never mind the fact they couldn't score a damn run for 8 innings. It's the bunt. That's why they lost. Never mind the fact Judge is hitting 140. Never mind the fact they can't come through with a damn big hit to save their lives in this game. No. It's the manager. It's the manager for not bunting. Everyone in the ballpark knew bunting was the right thing. He didn't do it, and that's why they lost. That's what bothers me. What bothers me about that phone call is the that's why they lost part. You could say, hey, I really thought Boone should have bunted there. I really think when you look at it, a bunt might have been a good decision with Trevino there instead of hitting into the double play. I really would have preferred a bunt. That's why they lost is not a fair statement. It's not why they lost. Paul in New City. What's up, Paul?
Hi, how are you? I agree with you. I don't think Boone should have got thrown out of the game. I totally agree with you. I've called a few times. I'm not the biggest Boone fan. You seem to love the guy. I've been following the Yankees since 75, so that's almost 40 years. I know a good manager when I see one. And, you know, I feel like you think you know more than everyone, that you think Boone's such a great manager. The guy's not a good manager.
I have an opinion. I just happen to have a louder voice and the ability to cut other people off, but it doesn't mean I think I know better than others. We had a discussion on it. I agreed that you could have bunted the runner over. I even agreed that I didn't think he answered the question in the postgame, honestly, or at least good enough for my liking. I just don't think it's the reason they lost when an offense can't score a run for 8 innings. That's not why they lost. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
That's
not why they lost. And yeah, I think Boone's a pretty good manager. We go up and down. Like, look at what'd you expect him to do last year? We complain about Cashman, how the teams, that's what I'm saying. You can't tell me Cashman sucks and Boone sucks when they've won in the regular season so much. That's all I'm saying. Somewhere down the line, somebody's done a half-decent job. It's either Boone managing a lousy put-together team. 2 years ago, they won 99 games and won the division. I know they didn't win the World Series, so it was a failure of a year, fine. But they won 99 games and won a division. And were in the ALCS, one of the final four teams. Either Boone took a terrible put-together team with a miserable offense and figured out a way to win 99 games, or Cashman put together a great team and the bum manager only got 99 wins. You can't have it both ways. Cashman can't be awful and the manager can't be terrible with the level of success they've had with the two of them working together. And I know the level of success isn't a World Series title, but it's a lot of wins, no?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:43, McMonagle here with you. The other story we didn't really get a chance to get to yet in our five-hour midnight ride that still has about an hour and 16 minutes left before we hand it off to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. is, amazingly enough, this is like the third story of the day. Yeah, I mean, after the Knicks and I guess the Islanders, and of course I went Yankees first because it's what I do, right? But finally, it's over. I can't wait. I'm so jealous of Fleegs. I can't, and I don't want to compare Daniel Jones to Zach Wilson because it's really not fair. All my issues with Daniel Jones, I can't compare him to Zach Wilson. He's so much better, so far better. It's not even worth. But I of course, yeah. You guys wish that Zach Wilson was as good as Daniel Jones. No doubt. I'm not trying to compare them, but in some way, at least his fiasco is over. He does have Aaron Rodgers, and he wasn't going to start anyway, but at least it's over. Zach Wilson is no longer a Jet. You will never have to see him take a snap. There is no injury concern. There's nothing to worry about. He will never be the quarterback again of the New York Jets as he was traded to the Denver Broncos. God bless those Denver Broncos and their charitable hearts. As I wasn't sure they were going to be able to find. I thought they were going to have to cut him. I did not think they were going to be able to find someone who would trade with him, and they got a doozy of a trade. And honestly, it is a good trade. It's a good trade. They trade Zach Wilson and a seventh-round pick and eat half his contract in exchange for a sixth-round pick. So they get one round better from seventh to sixth, and they have to eat half his salary, but they get rid of Zach Wilson. And look, I don't want to completely trash Zach Wilson. I do think he was put in a tough spot. There's no doubt about it. The Jets did not do him any favors. They never gave him a great surrounding cast offensively. They didn't give him good offensive coaching. I get it. Last year, he was supposed to not play, and he was thrusted into a situation. It has not been easy for Zach Wilson, but Zach Wilson stinks. I don't know how else to put it. He's one of the all-time busts in Jets history, if not NFL history. And that's saying a lot for the Jets. He has been unable to compute information and make it happen on the field. We know the arm strength he's got. We know the talent he's got. And that's why Denver's taking a chance. There is a reason he was drafted second overall. He has the physical tools, but he could just never put it together. And unfortunately for him, I don't care what they've said. I don't care what they'll continue to say. I haven't checked the social media of Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson and all the guys who've come to his defense publicly. We all know this Jet team was done with him. They didn't believe in him. They wanted anybody but him to be the quarterback of this team, so much so they would throw parties for Mike White, and they publicly recruited Aaron Rodgers. It was time to go. I think if they could get anything, I'm shocked. They've got a six-round pick, and ultimately this will go down as hopefully for Joe Douglas, not the crowning achievement of his Jet career, or, you know, I guess that's poor terminology, but the most defining moment of his career that he will be remembered for, that his tenure as Jets GM will be known for drafting the biggest quarterback bust in their franchise, ruining the number two overall pick, and I guess still also never being able to really build that offensive line. But hopefully that's not the case this year with revamping it in free agency and still the draft with the ability to add to it. But it was just a tumultuous tenure. He never got it right. It was just a long, hideous career. And it really wasn't that long, but it felt that way. And I feel for him because, again, the Jets did him no favors, but it was just, it ends in not wanting to play and going back out there. It's just so many different ups and downs. Not many ups, to be honest with you. So many different ways to go down. And ultimately, it's just a relief to be done with it. And I can't believe that it's not more of the show than just that. But I'll take your calls on it, 877-337-6666. But Joe Douglas makes a good move. They had to get rid of him. They couldn't allow him to still be on the team. I understand that he's not the backup. They went out and paid and brought in Tyrod Taylor to be the backup of this team. But when you consider Aaron Rodgers and what he just went through last year and his Achilles injury, and then you consider Tyrod Taylor, who is probably the most brittle, as well as being one of the more talented backup quarterbacks in the league, he's also one of the more brittle. That's how we know who Tommy DeVito is. We've seen it throughout his career. There is a legitimate chance if Zach Wilson was on this team, you could see him on the field again. And when you think of Zach Wilson on the field for this football team, I think of a team that no longer believes in itself offensively. I believe in a defense that feels forced and the added pressure of trying to do it all themselves. I feel a coach who was forced into a situation to play a player he had no desire in playing whatsoever and was probably open with that fact to anybody who would listen, who wouldn't report it in the news. A coach aching to play anybody else. And ultimately, a lot of losing. It was a disaster of a pick. It's been a disaster of a tenure. And hopefully he goes to Denver and figures it out. And hopefully he goes to Denver and his talent shines through and they can figure out how to at least get something out of him. But my gut tells me he will be a backup for a few years and then he will be out of the league. Because I don't think he's very good. 877-337-6666. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, C-Mac, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing good. I remember in the offseason, I called you up when Wandy Peralta signed with the Giants, and I was upset.
Padres.
Yeah, it was a small deal. It was only like $4 million a year for like 4 years.
Yes, I think it's three years at $4 million.
3 years and $4 million, yeah.
Yep.
So, I called and I remember saying, it feels like we're taking it for granted, the Yankees' ability to develop relief pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way even more.
I apologize. 4 year deal, $16.5 million. So, yeah, 4 year.
Yeah, so $4 million a year.
Yep. About.
Yeah, so it feels like, I feel even stronger about that now. Is, we see Caleb Ferguson, Weaver, Santana, and it just feels like there's not, the only guys in the circle of trust is really, in my opinion right now, is Hamilton and Holmes.
And Gonzalez has been good. I know he gave up a home run in this game, but Gonzalez has been pretty good.
Yeah, but we lost the Weisiga,
yep.
And, we let Wandy go, and it just
seems
like the bullpen they're going to have some issues this year.
Yeah, no, listen, they're going to have, but this is, I still agree. I understand what you're saying, but I still agree. This is what they do best. And yeah, they lost Loaizaga, which was not.
Wandy, who is doing great right now still.
So
I checked up his numbers. He's got like a 0.8 ERA.
I loved Wandy Peralta. I didn't want to lose Wandy Peralta.
Yeah.
You can't pay a middle reliever $4 million a year for 4 years. You just can't. That's a contract the Yankees can't match. I'm sorry. I disagree with you. I love Wandy Peralta.
It's only $4 million.
I'm not, yeah, I can't.
$4 million for one of the best lefty specialists in the game.
Well, I don't know if he's one of the best lefty specialists. I like him. Yes, no. You see, no, I can't. Not when I'm better at building that position than anybody else in baseball. And the Yankees are. And I know right now they're struggling with it. And we'll see. They're going to add. They have guys in the minor league system that could eventually be brought up later in the year. They still have guys coming. You're waiting for you're waiting for Efros. You're waiting for Trevino. You're waiting.
Trevino.
You're waiting for
Tommy Canley.
Tommy Canley still to come back from this bullpen.
Yeah, that's like you know you're playing with players that are injured and have been injured for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Efros and Trevino. It's like those guys have like barely pitched in the last 2 years, so it's kind of a question mark.
No doubt
of what you're going to get out of them. You know, and Canley wasn't really at his best last year either, it seemed.
Besides a little bit of a stretch, he actually had a decent year, Canley. But he falls in love with his changeup a little bit too much. But listen, I love Wandy Peralta. I can't. Who knows what Wandy Peralta is going to be in a couple of years? I can't give $4 million a year to a middle reliever. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I understand.
It's not much.
It's asset allocation and money. I understand it's not much. It's too much. It's too much for a middle reliever. And for 4 years, I'll give him 1 year at $4 million. I'm not locking into Wandy Peralta at 4 years, $4 million. I'm sorry. I know that sounds like, oh, it's the Yankees. They should have endless money. You got the best reliever. You go. I mean, I think the Yankees have done an excellent job at figuring this out. And they're just getting some new guys in. And the bullpen's a bit of a problem, no doubt. And I would love to have Wandy Peralta still on this team. But that's a contract I didn't feel comfortable with at the time, and I still don't. I'm not going to let I'm not going to let 3 weeks. First of all, they were the last bullpen in all of baseball to give up a run. So it's been a 3.5 week season, a month season. The first week and a half, they were the best bullpen in baseball. So for 3 weeks, the bullpen has struggled, and I admit they have struggled, and it is a concern. But I'm not going to let 3 weeks of a poor bullpen while they're also 7 games over .500 completely make me rethink how they've gone about it when that's been, without question, their strongest asset as a organization over the last handful of years. They bring in Clay Holmes, it works. They find guys like Green. They've done this over and over and over again. They have guys in the minor league system. When Cole comes back, you might see Luis Gil go to the bullpen. We don't know. This bullpen is going to be forever changing. And right now, I agree, they haven't found guys that are in the circle of trust just yet. And I wish Wandy Peralta was on this team. I don't like giving four-year deals to middle relievers. You're right, it's not a lot of money. But in 4 years, I could be, it's throwing it away. You want to? You're unhappy, you know. Right now, you're right. He's been pitching great. He's got 11 innings pitched. He's pitching to a .8 ERA. He's doing a great job in San Diego. But you're ready to tell me that a 4 year contract is worth what they should have given him? Is absolutely worth it, and they should have given it to him 3 weeks into the first year of that 4 year deal. I don't know what Wandy Peralta is going to look like in the next handful of years, and I don't want to be paying $4 million for a middle reliever who might be done after this year. I'm not paying 3 years of dead money, especially I got to pay Juan Soto. It all adds up. And it's the one spot I feel comfortable saving money because they've been great shuffling these guys through. And and the first week of the season, it was great. The last handful, not so much. Santana's ERA has been bad. He had one bad outing. And that's like we're going to look at ERAs and stuff. Like Santana's ERA is 3.98, 4. Yeah. It was 1 prior to his last outing. I'm not completely done with the bullpen. It's an issue. They're going to have to fix it. But I can't go back and say, "Oh, they should have got Wandy Peralta. They should have kept Wandy Peralta." Not for a 4-year deal. Can't do it. I didn't like the contract. I understood why they didn't sign it. I still do.